Why are you holding back? Don't you want to be with me?
It's not that, it's just everything's going so fast. I mean, this is our first night out, you know.
Are you saying I'm too pushy for you?
A little. It's just, I don't think I'm ready to get serious with anybody right now.
Who said anything about getting serious? I just wanted to get together with you and have some fun, you know, fool around. First time I met you at Julie's party, I wanted to be with you.
Well, maybe you don't understand what I'm trying to say, but when Julie fixed us up to go on this hayride together, I was really excited about it. I mean, you are really cute, and I haven't been out with a lot of girls. I just never had any girl treat me the way that you have.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to come on so strong, but it's just that I really like you, and I want you to know it, you know? So why don't you come a little closer?
This is the night of heavenly fright. Witches on broomsticks are up to their tricks, and poltergeists quail to the moon, which looks like a silver balloon. Frankenstein's monster is having a ball, scaring the goblins right off of the wall. Boogeymen prance at our favorite dance, and children are king and queen. They wish you a merry, creepy Halloween.
Hello. And welcome to the Spooky Doom Time Hour, hopefully less, with frickin' Bones Jeffrey, and I'm a ghosty Richard.
Ow!
Oh, folks, Halloween season is here. I didn't think we were going to make it, and we're recording this way in advance, so maybe we didn't.
Yeah, odds are not in our favor.
Hi, we're dead, but it's good to hear from you. Yeah,
well, we're ghosts now. We're the Statler and Waldorf of ghosts.
Hey, when you're dead, you don't care. It's cool. You're like, oh, I was scared of dying. Not anymore, brother.
It rules.
So here we are. It is once again our finely crafted Halloween show. And this time we're going to talk about Flesh Eater from 1988. A.K.A. Zombie Nosh, if you're British. The Japanese title, I am not trying to do an English joke. This is literally what Google Translate translated it to. Fresh Eater Zombie Crowd.
Well, okay, so I do have to say he is a fresh eater because he only likes them fresh. He won't eat a corpse.
The Russian title was really funny. It translates to Flesh Eater.
Okay.
Yeah. This other alternate title here is Revenge of the Living Dead, which is its most common title.
Isn't that the alternate title of Zater as well?
Yes. Very okay. Confusing.
Yeah.
Oh, this also had Revenge of the Living Zombies, which I really like. The working title was Revenge of the Living Zombies.
I mean, I gotta say, they should have found a better title. Flesh Eater definitely kept me away from this movie for way too long.
Mm-hmm.
Because it sounds so bad. I mean, being intimately familiar with this movie, I do like the title Flesh Eater because I like just calling Hinsman's character Flesh Eater.
Yes.
Oh, that's the Flesh Eater.
I just keep calling him Bill.
I refer to him in my notes primarily as the Hins. But yeah, like it's not particularly a fitting title for this film. And I feel like it might be part of the reason why it's not as well known as it should be, I think.
Right. Well, I've draw parallels to this and the sequel that Russo, what's his name?
John
Russo.
Yeah.
Thank you. He wrote a Dawn of the Dead book before Dawn of the Dead came out, and it was not what they used at all for the screenplay for Dawn of the Dead. And this movie has some things in common with that book, which is weird because John Russo is not involved in this. Instead, we just have Mr. Hinsman, who was he was the first zombie we see in Night of the Living Dead.
Yes. Iconic.
Absolutely.
He's milking it. Just milking it here. And you know what? He's still got the stare into the camera glare.
Yep. He's still got that blouse ripping charm.
This movie is, I think it's important to note up front, it's not really a zombie movie. I mean, at least that's how I feel. It's kind of like a witchcraft, devil magic, flesh eater movie, which is different than a zombie movie. And despite the fact that it rips off various scenes from George Romero's zombie movies, it's still just not really in any way that's meaningful. As it doesn't operate like other zombie movies do. It's got its whole other way of progressing through plot, of introducing and quickly disposing of characters. It's on a whole other level, I think, that like if you're just looking for your standard bog issued standard issue zombie movie, you're not gonna get it.
Right. It's
you're
something
getting
else
fucking flesh eater.
You're getting something. But this is actually a Halloween movie. It tries to deny us. But somewhere in the last half hour, they kind of doubled down on the Halloween goodness.
Yeah, it starts off very Halloween-y and it ends, well, or like, yeah, I mean, last maybe. It's in the fourth, fifth of it that it becomes Halloween-y again. But the menu on the Blu-ray release, which is sadly out of print, it looks pretty good for a Media Blasters release. So it's sad that it's out of print. The menu has the promotional images that are used for like most of the poster art today that were clearly done in like, you know, 2000 and whatever rather than 1988. But the menu has like these photoshopped autumn leaves, like yes, swirling through the yes air around the flesh eater and his victim. And it's such a good mood. It just transports me.
I have the Shriek Show DVD with the same exact shit.
Yeah.
Cause I had never seen it before. This was basically a blind buy because I'd only ever heard people talk shit about this movie. And so I avoided it and avoided it. Then I saw it was made in 88. And yeah, I was like, dude, that's all I needed to tell me. Let's do this. It can't be that bad. So I got it. And this freaking DVD is just packed with good stuff. It's got the whole behind the scenes. And it's got the freaking the pizza commercial.
Oh, my God. The pizza commercial.
Ooh, it's so lame. It's so good. I didn't say lame. No, not me. No. So here's the trailer. I found the trailer. I really love this one. It's a Revenge of the Living Zombies trailer. So, oh God, come on.
No.
It's a Revenge of the Living Zombies trailer. So I'll drop that in here now.
It's a zombie nosh trailer.
Hello, Governor. Can I get a zombie nosh? Oh, yeah, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Come on, man. Those things are right behind us.
It's too late. Go find someplace else to hide.
Oh, you bastard.
They're gonna come soon, okay?
So I found the Magnum Entertainment VHS tape, of course, not in my possession, merely a Google search away. Good old VHSCollector.com, which I don't even know if is still an active thing. I know, you,
I don't know.
The images still work. So God bless them. Or the devil or Satan, whoever.
Curse them!
It's Haunted Ween. Oh, wait, we need to do Haunted Ween sometime.
Yeah, for sure.
Brad Hoag interviewed that director. It's on doomedmoviethon.com. So.
Wow.
Just when you thought the dead were buried, experience your most dreadful nightmare become reality as an innocent outdoor sleepover becomes an endless night of sheer terror. Eddie and eight of his friends planned to spend one night on Spencer's farm. What they hadn't planned on was falling prey to the flesh-hungry, quote-unquote, undead. As the blood spills and the body count climbs, so do the odds against the survivors as each murdered victim rises again to feed on the helpless living. Approximate running time, 88 minutes.
Correct. That is accurate. The minute count, that is. And the synopsis. Very good.
Oh, thank you. I just learned to read. This had some cuts made to it by the good old whatchamahoosits, British people, BBC, or whoever censors movies over there.
I think it's the Queen.
She said, I don't care for this. It's Yucky Patoopoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yucky Patoopoo. Sorry, folks. I'm dropping too many honest-to-goodness British things people say. Simon taught me that one.
Britishisms.
Yikes. So we're going to get into this thing. Folks, spoilers. I found the DVD super cheap, so I maybe it's still out there. You said the Blu-ray's out of print.
The Blu-ray's out of print. It goes for like $50. I paid a little bit less than that.
Oh, good.
Like a year ago. So good luck. It's worth it, but good luck.
Godspeed to you, DVD and Blu-ray finders.
Yeah.
So this is a Hinsman production.
We get excuse me. It says a Bill Hinsman joint.
It's an irregular font party.
This is edited, screenplay, story, produced, directed, starring, craft services by Bill Hinsman.
Wow. So he directed The Majorettes and this.
He directed The Majorettes?
That's what frickin' IMDb says. I did not know that. I thought, for
some reason, I had just assumed that John Russo directed The Majorettes. That's crazy. And he did that the year before this. Whoa.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, I love The Majorettes. It's so weird.
That's one of the strangest movies. It's so fun.
The tonal whiplash as it turns from a horror film into an action film.
Yeah, it starts like a ripoff of The Prowler a little bit. By way of God knows what, and then it just goes off into frickin' Rambo land.
Yes, it does.
Dude, it's so wonderful. But yeah, Hinsman was in a lot of other good old George A. Romero things like Night of the Living Dead. I don't even know why I just said that. Season of the Witch. Crazies, Knight Riders. So he did work with him. This movie just feels like a frickin' George Romero said, I don't want to be involved with this, Bill. Please, no.
Well, so did you watch the documentary?
A little bit. Okay. I got a little annoyed with the I don't know what I got annoyed with.
Okay. Well, at one point, Hinsman claims that he sent promo photos of him in the makeup. And, you know, with a letter that they were like making the movie, and he sent it to Romero and received a cease and desist letter and was like, I don't care. I'm going to make my movie. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I mean, it kind of sounds fake, but they also didn't work together again after that. So,
yeah, he definitely didn't get his blessing.
Yeah.
So we get the score, which I was talking to you about before we were recording. The score is done by someone named... The music is by Erica Portnoy, and she did this, and she did the score for a Tales from the Dark Side episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been wrestling. I really don't like this music. I don't like this score. It's one of the only truly bad things. I only have like two complaints about this movie. This is one of them. But the score, I was listening to it on YouTube, and I actually like it. I like it. I love it. I want more of it.
Yeah.
And I separate it from the movie, and it sounds pretty neat. And I don't know if it's just this, because the sound is so sloppy on this frickin' movie that you can't hear the best parts of the score, because all you hear is that same piano part over and over, and then that same piano part played slower and then faster and slower. When you hear the score, you actually hear that there's a drum machine and a bass, and it's like dynamic in a way that it does not come through on the DVD. So I don't know.
Gotta go back to the master tapes.
Oh, well, I'll meet you there. We'll ride our broomsticks right over there.
Where we're going, we won't need master tapes.
We'll have Marnie and her grandma send over a couple of brooms for us. Take a frickin' skeletal taxi cab.
Hell yeah. So I really love the approximately 4.5 seconds of animated intro where the flesh eater goes,
"Argh." Dude, it's so cool. I love that. I wish that was the whole movie. That was so great.
And I love when it's followed up by the on-screen text incantation, which reads, quote, "This evil which will take flesh and blood from thee and turn all ye on." Turn ye unto evil.
It'll just turn you on.
So this evil will turn ye on to evil.
Sure.
That is what happens. It's true.
They were so proud of that text, they carved it into a prop later. It's going to be great.
I mean, I love that. Yeah, I know. It's because it's, again, like, this isn't like traditionally a zombie movie. It's like there's some sort of weird magical incantation that is restricting the flesh eater from rising back onto Earth and taking victims. And that incantation is like hinting towards zombies being like a magic thing, right? Like a demonic thing.
Yep.
Like it's that incantation is just describing what happens with a zombie. It's like, oh, they'll bite you and you will also turn into a zombie. It's a weird take. I honestly, outside, it's like almost hearkening to like voodoo zombie type stuff, but in a totally different direction. I've never seen anything quite like it. I love it.
Because you get bit, you turn into a zombie. Also, if you get killed by a zombie in any way, you come back as well.
Unless they like totally eat you, which also happens.
Or destroy your brain, because they still get killed by a gunshot to the brain.
Yeah. Weird shit. He's off on his own plane of existence here.
I think he wrote the scenes and then had to adapt the logic to it later. And then also didn't.
Fair.
We cut to a hayride.
Oh my God.
And we got a denim clad, mullet infused gang of good time Charlies.
These Charlies are cracking cold ones. They have some Altman-esque overlapping dialogue, mostly about passing cold ones and taking on responsibility for buying cold ones.
Yes.
What I would like to do for the Halloween season is just put two LCD screens next to each other and then loop this opening and the opening to Hack-A-Lantern. And it's just the perfect autumnal Halloween vibes. Oh, yeah. You know it's Halloween because they have some plastic jack-o'-lantern candy receptacles.
Yes. It's so half-assed. I mean, and that's why, like, when I found out this was a Halloween movie, I got really excited. And then I saw the hayride and those little plastic dealies. I was like, oh, that's going to be it. But boy, was I wrong. I'm glad I was wrong. We stop and we have our pal Eddie, the only character's name that I can remember other than I think I did okay. There's a lot of very samey people here.
Yeah.
Eddie is the asshole, most relatable because I'm an asshole, so I love him.
He plays the role of the asshole up until the point where the movie has no longer any need of him. because the movie decides to go off in a totally different direction. Oh, but he does a good job at first. You know, he's kind of filling the role of the bald guy from Night of the Living Dead, the asshole.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he literally fills that role later.
Exactly.
He's got some good lines. His accent's kind of weird. Like here, he's trying to spook everybody, and he continues to prank people for the next, you know, 15 minutes or so. He has a great line where he says, "You know, I bet these woods get pretty goddamn scary at night."
Yeah, this was filmed in Pennsylvania, Beaver Falls, Carapolis, Edgeworth, and Pittsburgh. I say these things like I know what I'm talking about. I've only been to Pittsburgh one time. Leah and I drove through, got out of the car, rode in the funicular that goes up a hill, and then rode it back down, and then got in the car and then left Pittsburgh. But it looked like a very pretty city.
I feel like this makes so much sense because this definitely sounds like it's Pennsylvania, but it's like definitely right outside of a metropolitan area. That's how I would describe these accents.
Yeah. One girl sounds like she's from Jersey. I'm really confused.
Yeah, well, that's it right there. Yeah.
Let's see. So Eddie spins a tale. He tells of an urban legend. And man, it's as haunting as freaking Mothman. And oh my god, like Slenderman. I was like,
it's as haunting as a man's hand in a dog's mouth.
Dude, I was terrified. I was like, I was messed up about it. He claims that this happened to his cousin. And then someone says, "Eddie, what an asshole."
Yeah, all of his friends like don't take him seriously at all. They're just like, "We really need to get Eddie high. He needs to relax."
There's no marijuana in this frickin' movie. I was kind of shocked. It's all beer.
So much beer.
There should have been some frickin' bongs. Let's see. We see a farmer pulling up a stump. He's out in the woods there while they're going out to their wooded destination for this evening of Halloween frivolity, which sounds really fun. Just hanging out in the woods in the dark. Cool. He pulls up a stump with his tractor. The fact that there's a tractor driving man is going to be very important in a bit because it's all going to come together. I swear. Yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He finds underneath this, this stump, a pentagram stone. And he lifts this stone. He blames college kids. It's a prank.
You know, them goddamn rock burying college kids.
What with their freaking constant ding 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 as they carve into stone. I'm so sick of that shit, dude.
Them kids burying their giant ravioli looking joke pendants in the ground.
Fucking stonemasons. There's a grave underneath, and it has this plaque on it with, of course, this evil which will take flesh and blood from thee and turn all ye unto evil. Is, you know, they actually doubled down on that frickin' thing. It reminded me of the headstone in the gibberish headstone in City of the Living Dead.
Yeah,
I love it. And he lifts that up too, and then underneath is a grave. And he finds Bill Hinsman taking a nap, which I love this, how young Bill Hinsman was when this was shot, because he always looks old because of the makeup they have on him. So when they're doing those behind the scenes photos in the 2000s, he looks like as old as they thought he actually was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
but he's taking a nap. And he wakes up after the farmer, the tractor guy, calls him one ugly son of a bitch. Bill wakes up and he eats the gentleman of the tractor variety. He eats him in the throat area. God bless him.
Mm-hmm. And we get some real good squirting. At this point and moving forward from here, we have a shit ton of gore, and it's all so good.
Yes.
It's not, sometimes it's like kind of in your face gore. Other times it's a little bit more subtle bloodshed, but it's always well done. I feel like this did not have a large budget at all. In fact, I saw it was 60,000. I think 59,000 of it went to all of the special effects.
I think you're right. I'm looking up the people who worked on the effects. The one dude, Natalka Voslakov, worked on Day of the Dead, worked on Bloodsucking Pharaohs in Pittsburgh and Creepshow. I forget I've actually seen Bloodsucking Pharaohs in Pittsburgh. That's, who would have thought? But Jerry Gergely, I do not know if I'm saying his name correctly. He worked on Majorettes, the Night of the Living Dead remake, the aforementioned Bloodsucking Pharaohs in Pittsburgh. Then he worked on Babylon 5 a bunch.
Lots of face applications there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's on also on the special effects crew for the My Bloody Valentine remake.
Okay.
So some fun stuff there. But yeah, I totally agree. The gore is pretty superb.
And endless. Just absolutely endless.
It never stops.
No.
Then the kids, we cut back to the kids having a little dance party. They've broken out the boombox, the stereo.
Okay, you were overselling it.
Oh.
This is a one-sided dance party. They're listening to a song that says, do you know the name of the song?
Not sure.
I don't either, but it goes, if you're having fun, you know you want to dance. And all of the girls do, while their boyfriends just continue to sit stationary, like watching them.
Yes.
It's so awkward. Everyone's clad in denim from top to bottom.
Oh boy. There's four songs in the movie. They're all by something called Hedge, H-E-D-G-G. That's how it's spelled.
Okay.
That song is called Do You Want to Dance? There's another song by Hedge called Starting Over, and there's the most catchy, the one they're famous for is Working for the Weekend, which, you know, everybody's working for the weekend. That's not Hedge. That was so not Hedge. I made myself laugh.
Stop trying to make Hedge happen.
Oh, geez, yes! Nice. Nicely done. While they're having this one-sided dance party, as you say, a character named Lisa flashes her boobs because...
Why not?
Why not?
Because Bill Hinsman told her to.
Yes. Because she was willing to do that, he won't have to rip her shirt open later.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, boy.
Small prize, yeah.
So now we have our tractor zombie man. He's a zombie now because he wakes up after being bitten.
Flesh Eater 2 enters the game and growls directly into camera, as all flesh eaters must.
Hey, they're trained by the master.
Yep.
Two of the fun-loving kids run off to go make out in a barn. And Jeffrey, folks, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that we love mumblecore.
Oh my
God. Not mumblecore movies. No. Mumblecore characters in random 80s shit.
Oh,
and
my
this
God.
Chick
She's
is like.
Amazing.
I love her so much.
So I was watching this with my partner, and they said that this actress delivers all of her lines with all the excitement of a mom whose child brought home a report card of all straight C's. I don't remember the character's name. I never picked it up.
I tried. Man.
She looks to me like one of my favorite musicians. Her name is Jan Terry. I think you need to look her up immediately. Okay. And I need you to play a song of hers. It's a Halloween song called Get Down Goblin. And you need to insert it right here.
Oh, that lady. Okay, I actually know who she is.
She kind of looks like Jan Terry, and she sounds exactly like her.
Let's just say if she had some kids and you know, aged naturally, aged. As we all do.
Aged like Pennsylvanians do.
I'm happily drop that in there. Was Jan Terry, was she from frickin' Florida?
Oh,
was
God, she a Florida she person? Be. She might be.
I'll look into it. I hope she is. There's a Florida reference in this that is very near and dear to my heart. We'll get to that when we get to that.
I cried when I heard that line.
I can't wait. So he's not into it. Her dude's like, hey, I thought, you know, we were just going to come out here and talk, you know, and she's like, no, I really want to. And she delivers all these great lines to seduce him. It totally works. Then she gives him a very firm tonguing.
And he gives her a very firm nipple munching.
Oh, boy. But here's what's great. Their makeout sounds on the soundtrack. Like, there's a lot of bad sound in this movie. Not, like, the worst I've ever seen, obviously. But there's some, like, noticeable hiss that kicks in, especially when certain characters are about to speak. So they didn't really, like, clean up the audio a lot. Hey, no prob. But their makeout sounds are crystal clear HD quality sound effects. Mouth smacking horror. And actually, that's what raised the dead.
Listen, they weren't getting paid much, so they were going to enjoy themselves.
Damn, while they were there. Mm. She's like, I'll show my boobs now so that, you know, Bill doesn't have to rip my top later. And it works.
It does. Yeah, I guess that was like the rule.
So Bill bursts in, zombie Bill bursts in, and he gives the couple, especially the guy, a very bad Pitchfork review.
Oh, true. Oh. They got a 0.0
for their mumblecore album.
Boy, throughout this I thought I discovered her name, but I just kept referring to her in my notes as Jan. all throughout this, as Hinzman is taking a pitchfork and is just murdering the other guy.
Yes.
Jan just keeps moaning, no, no, with total indifference.
There is so many instances of people just watching shit happen.
And Hinzman responds by punching her through the tummy and pulling out her heart.
Yep.
And takes a little munch. All throughout which she's saying nothing. She's making no sounds during any of this.
In the trivia, it says that they forgot to tell Bill that was a real pig's heart.
What?
They had a fake heart, but it didn't look good. So they did a pig's heart. So when he pulled it out and took a bite, they were like, oh, Bill, don't. And he was like, what? And like, that's a real pig's heart. And he was really grossed out. That's
somehow he didn't notice while it was in it. Okay.
Well, he's not big on details. Hey, wow. I'm hoping the microphone is picking up the thunder in the background. That's pretty cool.
Spooky.
Add to our spookiness. It probably isn't.
So back with the kids, they have not noticed they will notice, but they haven't yet noticed their missing friends. And someone suggests Frisbee.
Oh, this is so good.
And I don't know if this is a line or if this is just how I felt like the reaction was, but I heard, Frisbee, you fuck, we're here to drink beers.
Yeah, that's pretty much the reaction. They're like, well, why you want to ruin it? Hey, you know, like that. And you're like, what are you talking? How is that ruining? Okay, fine. We won't play fucking Frisbee. We'll sit here and drink.
And then we have our chill farmer arrive to them. Is he Farmer Dave?
I can't recall.
He must be, because I'm looking at the credits and there's Tractor Driver and Farmer Dave. So
they're both tractor men.
Well, he's the one who is letting them stay on his farmland for some reason. And he's like both annoyed, but also kind of chill.
Yes.
And he's the one who'll be doing most of the accompanying munching, the accompanying flesh eating, you might say, throughout much of the movie. He's really cool. I like him.
Yeah, they like to abuse his kindness. So Eddie scares one of the couples, and they call him an asshole, and, you know, they're really pissed at him. He has this really goofy executioner mask that I think was one of those masks that was advertised in the back of, like, every Fangoria ever.
Uh-huh.
And they call him an asshole because they're getting firewood so they don't freeze to death overnight.
Yeah.
in this woods area. And they ask him to carry a piece of wood as punishment for scaring them. And he goes, and he scoffs and he throws the wood. I'm like, God, Eddie rules. I actually wrote in my notes, Eddie rules.
Well, see, I actually am anti-Eddie, and it's because during this scene, after he pranks them and they're mad, he says, "Wait, what's the big deal? I thought we were here to have fun." My question is then, why the fuck weren't you dancing, Eddie? The song says very clearly, if you're having fun, you know you want to dance.
Or play Frisbee.
Or play Frisbee. I mean, dancing first, Frisbee second. But
so they annoy the tractor man by asking him to buy them some beers for when they get back, because we're running low on brewskis. I think they're drinking Iron Beer or something. I forget the name of the brand. Iron City Beer or something, because they actually thank them in the credits. Which I will try to find a frickin' beer commercial for that brand.
Every day after joyful day, hundreds of thousands of men lay down the tools of their work and come together for that one supreme moment, the beer after work. Iron City Beer, after work. It has a taste that's bold, cold, alive every sip of the way. Iron City. Once you get there, you'll never want to leave.
But also, they're like, oh, and tell him to pick up some cigarettes. I want a pack of Cools. So I'll try to find a cool cigarette commercial to drop in here. Yeah.
Cool filter longs. Stylishly long, tastefully cool. Filter longs. Style to be extra long with a taste to be extra cool. A cigarette that puts it all together. Come all the way up to Cool Filter Longs.
Let it be cool.
Stylishly long.
Let it be cool.
Our pal, tastefully cool. Lisa, I don't know how I remember her name, she is the one who's going to go ask the tractor man about the frickin' Cools, but she witnesses the tractor man getting killed by the other tractor driving zombie.
Tractor on tractor violence, yeah.
That's ironic as fuck. And I looked up the definition for irony. It's exactly this. That irony, actually, the dictionary literally cites this sequence of the film. Thank you.
Irony is a bloody trucker hat.
Yeah. John Deere. Lisa witnesses this murder. As he's getting his throat bit, because that's what we do. And she runs away. But don't worry, Zombie Bill gets her.
He's always
there. Bites her shoulder.
And her flesh looks a little papery. You know, I was complimenting the gore, but it's this particular shot doesn't look so good.
They can't all be winners, you know.
No.
Her boyfriend rescues her from Bill. He hits him with a frickin' stick, and they run off, rejoining the folks, the gang, the Good Time Charlies. And the plan is to go to the farmhouse nearby. Definitely not ripping off any other film where they'd go hide in a farmhouse.
Never seen a movie like that before in my life.
No. And the others, they're going to go look for the sexy couple who disappeared earlier. And so, I mean, we have two zombie tractor men. So I'm like, I'm freaking, dude. This is freaking me out. And the couple... dead, and now they're zombies. Okay, so our main couple, just because they survived the longest out of all these people, they go and hide in this cellar of this house.
It's and Bob avoid and all Sally. The Bob and Sally.
Thank you. Oh, God, I had no idea the fuck their names were.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. They're not the ones that you would expect to make it. I mean, they seem nice. Yeah, like, you know, for this group, they seem nice. But they're totally indistinguishable. Like, they don't have any characteristics other than Eddie refuses to let them come into the boarded up house.
Oh, my God.
That's not even boarded up yet. He just rejects them. Eddie, ugh.
This is one of my favorite things about this movie that just makes me laugh so hard because of my knowledge of zombie movies, of having sat through way more seasons of The Walking Dead than any normal person should ever do. I have seen all this shit. And so for a film to skip the explanation of why the zombies are the way they are, which I'm used to that, but to see people who aren't in a sequel, technically, understanding that there is a zombie threat that they need to barricade themselves in, very specifically using hammer, nails, and spare wood to barricade doors. And they know to find weapons because there's more coming without really saying it. But I really love how quickly people turn on each other in this.
Yes, so quickly.
Oh, boy. And of course, Eddie is the one who's the fucking idiot that's like, oh, God, we're going to be stuck with this guy the entire movie. But surprisingly.
No, like 5 minutes, maybe.
And that's, I'm going to go ahead and compliment this movie here. The worst thing that could have happened to Flesh Eater at this stage is if it was the Siege movie, the rest of the movie.
It's not at all. And that's so beautiful. Like, it's because it's this part and it's the very end that feel like a community theater production of Night of the Living Dead, the musical. But the rest of it just goes in such a bizarre and kind of like a greatest hits type. Like, this feels like a gore reel after this point. It's just like, here's another scene where somebody dies. Here's another scene.
Right.
But we do play this out a little bit, you know, with Eddie pointing a gun at Ralph, the leader of this crew, who then immediately disarms him and points it back. And Eddie's like, please don't shoot me.
This is all in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah. There's an hour left.
Oh, God. Yes, during the siege, we have all these little fun, stupid moments. One of the girls chews on the three words, oh my God, so perfectly, where she's saying, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. It's so adorable.
Oh my God.
We see Eddie can't nail a door shut to save his life. Literally can't save his life. This is the other thing about these zombies, is they have super strength.
They do, yeah. Ahead of the curve.
Oh my Lord. And they're using tools like the you know, the Romero zombies would, you know, pick up tools and stuff.
My favorite moment during this, besides oh my God, is when I think it's Ralph calls the police and receives this very sassy, bespectacled female police dispatcher who asks him when he says like there's some monsters attacking us. She's like, Is this monster a Godzilla type or Frankenstein type of monster?
Holy shit, that's so good. Oh my God. she's going to take her time. Lietta made a joke. She said, because she eventually does call the cops. She gets off the phone with them when the line gets cut and goes back to reading her magazine. And then later she'll actually call an actual police officer. You know, like that's out on the road. She's an actual police officer. But she calls after she finishes her article. Like, she's, oh, I'll get on it as soon as I get done with this advice column or whatever. That's what Lietta thought.
Listen, she's just here to have fun.
Hey, if you're not dancing. The vampires, oops, I said it by accident. The zombies act like vampires in a couple shots where they're just literally draining the life force out of one dude. From his neck. I love that.
They give him like a double hickey. It's I think it's his girlfriend and then the chill farmer. Just like,
hey, it's the threesome he always wanted but was scared to ask for. So all of this shit happens. We finally get the cop called. They call an officer who takes the call and he's going to head out to that farm. But we have some very important business because we have to switch to an entirely different set of characters, which will happen a few more times.
It sure will. Yeah, because all of ours are dead. Like, they're all gone, except for the two, Bob and Sally, who were hiding. We enter into a, you know, a very casual, full nude pre-shower scene.
What the fuck?
Hinsman, you dog.
This is Susan, who is either the wife or the babysitter or the oldest daughter of this family. I don't freaking know.
I think she's like a live-in nanny or like an au pair of some kind, because she is definitely not older sister.
Nope.
She, because like the mother says, when my husband gets home, you do not talk to your daughter about your husband. So yeah, very strange, because she definitely lives there too.
Because she's naked and taking a shower.
She has a room. Yeah.
Oh, brother. It is so strange. I love it. But even so, like, how long has she been there where the lady wouldn't just say, oh, we're waiting for Frank to get home, not my husband.
So strange.
But the most impressive are these two kids. We got the two essential children. Chris is the hobo kid and his sister, who's dressed as a little angel. I cannot remember her name.
Well, her name is Heidi, and she is, I believe, Bill Hinsman's daughter, because her name is Heidi Hinsman.
Oh, she's a little fairy, or angel.
And Bonnie Hinsman is the mother, so that I wonder if that
is a family affair.
It's a family affair. He killed his family.
Thank you. I did not know any of that. That's so great. So
thank IMDb.
They are making caramel apples, and Chris is about to eat one, and his sister is like, Mom said we couldn't have one till later. And he looks at her and says, in the best frickin' kid way, who cares?
When he whirls around and you see that he's wearing a little hobo costume, just melts my heart.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, boy.
Halloween doesn't have to be spooky. Not with Easter Seal Safe Halloween coupons. The safe treat that gives treatment. Safe Halloween coupons are good for treats at stores and restaurants. Give them to trick-or-treaters or treat yourself. Give Easter Seal Safe Halloween coupons because Halloween should be warm and friendly.
Coupon books available at area Burger Kings, NCNB Banks, and AMC Theaters.
Why so glum, chum?
I lost all my trick-or-treat candy.
Take some of mine.
Wow! Hershey bars, Mr. Good Bar, Kit Kats, Rulos, Whatchamacallits, Reese's, all my favorites. Let's go get some more.
Sure, let me go ask my mom.
Nobody says boo to Hershey's.
Here's a good idea for Halloween. Wrigley's gum. My kids love it, and it's the treat I approve of. That's because I know Wrigley's Spearmint, Double Mint, Juicy Fruit, or Big Red Gum is a wholesome treat for kids. It won't spoil their appetites. Each stick is neatly wrapped, ready to hand out, and there's great value in a variety of package sizes. I like this new 50-stick bag. Wrigley's gum is the best idea for Halloween.
Get the wholesome Halloween treat kids love. Wrigley's gum.
Mom allows Heidi to give candy at the door when there's a knock at the door.
And she's like, only one piece of flesh for each trick-or-treater, Heidi.
And I'm like, what? But then she's giving out full-size candy bars, so boom.
Yeah.
But of course, it's not a trick-or-treater at the door. It is Mr. Bill Zombie Boy.
Mr. Bill.
She asks him about his costume, right? I forget.
I think so, yeah. Like, what are you supposed to be? And then he picks her up, and then we just see their feet as he, like, munches, and the blood pours down on the dropped candy bar.
And one of the trivia is that the candy bar is a made-up fake candy bar called Crunch, with a K, and that was one of Bill's jokes he thought was really funny. Because he's crunching her flesh.
Yeah, I couldn't read it, but the second I saw that, I was like, that ain't real. What is this? Is that a special Pennsylvania type of candy bar?
So Heidi has been gotten, and then he goes after good old Susan in her towel. He eats her throat. He chases her around the room, and he bites her throat. But then after he's done eating her throat, he has to rip the towel off. And then bite her some more. Not classy. I'd say that's one of the other. I mean, maybe it's three things I don't like about this movie. Bill's just kind of creepy.
Classy. Yeah.
Bill's just a little trashy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I'm sure his wife was very glad for this moment.
I believe it's also just very cynical. Like I'm based on his interview, this was just about money.
Yeah.
This wasn't. He didn't eat the flesh for the art. So yeah, I think that explains much of the nudity we get, which is a fair amount.
Yeah.
We also get here the moment, I mean, really the fight we've been waiting for since a zombie first fought a shark, and it's zombie versus hobo. Who wins? It's zombie. Really quick.
It's zombie.
Actually.
Yeah. I do like the movie for going after the kids, and the kids aren't miraculously saved. That's pretty good.
I mean, actually, nobody is off limits here. Everybody dies. Spoiler.
Oh, no. So,
Dad comes home.
Yes, thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, Dad comes home to get wasted by the zombies.
You know, he's his own hot meal after a long day of work.
There's a great shot where the kids and mom are all zombies munching on them. Then the naked Susan comes out, and they very carefully have not had her on set with the children. They cut very young.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, whew, that actually made me nervous for a second. I don't know why.
Then we have the cop who was dispatched out to... Where is he? Where is he when he gets caught?
I think he goes to the farmhouse.
He goes to the farmhouse. Yeah.
But he starts, like, within seconds, he figures out to shoot these guys in the head.
Right.
And he also gets bitten himself and then proceeds to, like, spit out his lines of dialogue so fast and so hilariously, like, telling the dispatch lady what's happening. Stuff we've already seen, but he's delivering his lines hideously. It's awesome.
I would say he has the best line of dialogue in the movie when he says to the dispatcher, quote, "They're trying to kill my ass."
I'm going to play this dialogue.
You know that feel when the kids are trying to kill your ass.
Yep. So even though he managed.
You know what? Yeah, I'm just going to say it. All cops are lunch meat. ACAL.
Oh, boy. Make that a flag. I'll wave it.
Terry! God damn it, Terry! I'm on the radio! Please, Vince, on the radio. I need help quick. I'm as Vince as Barb. These kids have turned into maniacs. They're trying to kill my ass. Send help. I'm wounded and these kids are not human. I shot one in the chest and never phased him, but I shot two in the head and I think they're dead.
So... I'm sorry. Oh, boy. I'm just trying to kill a bug. We had a gnat. And I'm choking. Pardon me. This will be fun to edit later.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So after blowing some of these zombies away, he gets killed himself. Then the kids hear that the gunshots have stopped. The ones in the basement, Sally and Bobo. Damn, this gnat. I'm going to kill it. So... professionalism. I'm on it. So they come out and they show their heads like the freaking Groundhog's Day. They come out of the basement and they run to the police car where they find the gnarly chewed up freaking cop. They use his gun to kill a couple of zombies themselves. I killed that gnat, by the way. It's Halloween, so he'll be haunting me.
Yeah, I mean, with gnats, you have to get them in the head. Destroy the brain. Kill the gnat.
We cut to even more characters. Cut to the husband and wife, the kind of like country folks who are bitching about trick-or-treaters.
I believe he's Farmer Ned.
Oh, brother. He's bitching about who's going to feed them horses. And of course, because he's a good husband, he agrees to share in the chores.
I mean, he just wants her to stop nagging, and yeah. He's like, well, all right, fine. I'll go give the horses their beer.
Iron City. The survivors, our buddies from the basement, they show up to get help from the horse man, and we get everyone shouting. Everyone is shouting. And he's like, oh, I'll help you. And I'm like... oh my God. Speaking of Altman, everyone talking over each other. That's a good comparison, sir. Mm-hmm. Now we cut to the news station where we get even more characters.
Some hard biting TV journalism about Visa and MasterCard escort services.
Oh boy.
It's like we're transitioning into Dawn of the Dead territory now, right?
Yes, with the cynical view of the news. And dude, I love this part. This is so... all of the shit about what's going on in the local area is fascinating and fucking hilarious.
Hmm.
We get the grizzled old newsman who's tired of this shit. And then we get the plucky young reporter, or the plucky young news lady who's there next to him. And he reads the copy about the zombie monster invasion and goes, oh no, hands it to her right before they go back in there. And he goes, here, you read this. And she's like, what? Oh, such a great touch. I love that shit.
And it's not long after this that my favorite joke happens. So have you heard this one before? A chicken, a Dracula, and a hula hood. What? Oh, gotta start that over. A chicken, a Dracula, and a...
I wasn't even drunk when I wrote these.
A chicken, a Dracula, and a hula skirt ornament walk into the Haystack Halloween Bash. That's all I got.
And you weren't drunk when you wrote that?
I wasn't drunk when I wrote that.
That sounds like one of my jokes, man. You're slipping.
Woof, woof, woof.
Hey, you made me laugh.
Well, I try. Oh, you know what I got confused about? It looks like a hood ornament because it's like she's dressed up in her hula skirt.
Oh, at the party.
Yeah, at the party because we're at the party now.
Oh, well, wait a minute. We got the horseman's wife watching TV and he comes in with the kids. And he's like, honey, there's something going on. And she stands up and she's a zombie already. She was bitten by a zombie and sat down to watch TV. I freaking love it. So then zombies all burst in.
That's what we call social commentary, Richard.
Oh, shit. Bill Hinsman, freaking satirist. So everyone bursts in, all the zombies, all the good time Charlies with, you know, they got holes in their denim, bleeding out, biting everybody. Our friends who have escaped all these situations escape yet again. To go to the Halloween party.
Yay.
Finally, man. This is, in my notes, the lamest Halloween party ever. Now, and I mean for the people who are attending it, not for the viewers at home. For the viewers at home, it's a great party because it's hilarious.
No one seems happy to be there besides the two people who are dancing. And we know to dance is to have fun. It is, they're listening to the radio. They're listening to someone named Mad Mike, Mike to Mike May AM, playing the tunes. They've got like one little cooler full of beer. And they're basically just like sitting in their groups, checking out each other's asses. Everybody there. We do learn that to check out ass is only human. Like, that's just what we do as humans.
I love that, yeah, they have the scene of the guys ogling the girls complaining about the guys ogling, but then they ogle as well.
Mm-hmm.
They give some advice to the witch costume girl. She's like, why did everyone dress sexy? I should have known. I should have dressed sexy too. So they explain how she can turn her witch costume into a magical sexy witch costume by grabbing the neck of her costume and ripping it down her shoulder. Well, and the least sexy thing ever.
I don't even think they rip it. They just push it down her shoulder. Oh, yeah,
yeah. They just stretch it out.
Just a little bit of shoulder.
It's so awful looking. Like,
much better.
She looked fine. Oh, we have the nastiest flirtatious couple who sneak off to go make out just like the other couple earlier. But there's some comic relief, putting in quotes, where she's like, I'm just serious. I'm not a slut. Yeah, Paul. And he's like, Paul, my name's Steve. And she's like, yeah, right. Steve.
I don't even know Paul.
And I just felt like it was like 8-year-old Kevin Smith was watching this and going, I can do better one day. I will have better dialogue than this.
I mean, there's an absolutely terrible line where she's like, my roommate said all you guys would do is drink beer and rape us girls.
Oh my god. They go off to make out, and our friends, our survivors, break into the party and they try to warn everyone. But the Dracula.
Andy Dracula, yeah.
Is played by Andrew Sands, who was also in the production.
Yes, he was. He's interviewed in that 30-minute documentary, yeah.
Yes. He was also in Surf Nazis Must Die.
Hell
he
yeah.
was a production coordinator. I was a production assistant on Two Evil Eyes and Night of the Living Dead remake. He was also an assistant production coordinator on Silence of the Lambs. and Argento's trauma.
What a weird career.
Yeah, I guess getting hooked up with Romero got you some gigs.
I would describe his performance here as Vladbert Gottfried. It's a weird, extremely affected performance of a drunk individual.
I love this part. He's always a Dracula, and he's got the blood drawn on his face, and he's so wasted. But he's like, oh my God, he's too drunk not to be awesome. Like, I love this guy. As he's denying that there's any zombies happening, he's mad. He says the best line in the fucking movie. He's like, he drunkenly says something to the effect of, I don't care about who isn't here. The people who are here are the most awesome people in the universe. Fucking incredible. Oh my God, I can't believe I almost missed that.
Totally sober thing to say. Totally. He also says, hey, somebody has to drink all of this beer.
It shouldn't just be you stupid fuck.
And when I can't remember who he says this to. I think it might be to Bob and Sally, because they arrive at the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he asks them, where are your costumes? You look like shit.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. I love him so much. I wish the whole movie was about the party. Oh, boy. Because the thing about the party is they have no extras.
No.
It's like,
that's it.
12 people? 10 people? It's a very small party. That's what's so great, because they have space for a huge party, but there's nobody there.
And I feel like this is such a... this scene and the opening scene lead me to think, like, this is operating on a similar level to Hack-A-Lantern, to the degree that I think they'd make a wonderful double feature.
Absolutely.
This one comes after, though, because, like, you know, at the Halloween barn party at the end of Hack-A-Lantern, there are a lot of people. Here, you got nobody at all. So it's like we're clearing out for the night.
They're clearing out. No, the other people left for the after party. The after party is the Hack-A-Lantern party.
Exactly.
The party gets rocking when all the zombies show up. There's three girls, our three fun gals, stand in the corner and scream while all their dates get eaten. Mm-hmm. No one does anything to really fight the zombies, except the flirtatious couple. I forgot to mention, she's dressed like a poodle skirt, kind of like a 50s gal, and he's dressed like a ninja, but without the ninja costume. He just like has like a vague pajamas that sort of looks like he might be training for martial arts.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't figure it out. I thought it was like if a mechanic was in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh boy, it's so good.
And she's described as being dressed like a cheerleader, which is
Cheerleader. I overthought it.
No, but I think yours is a lot closer, honestly.
Oh boy. It's not a good costume. No. So he goes to be the hero and he immediately gets killed. Bill shows up and deblouses another girl, rips another top off because whatever. So after the party munching happens, we cut to the next morning. Like, very jarringly, we cut to the next day. By the way, our survivors have survived once again.
I mean, their strategy works. Just book it.
Yeah, get the fuck out of there. They go hide again. We'll find out where they're hiding shortly. And then we get Hunters Be Hunting. Now, here's when the movie it feels like a Night of the Living Dead utter ripoff, where we have the next morning and even have the reporter, the grizzled old reporter from earlier.
God.
He shows up.
He's like the world's quietest newscaster with the world's longest question. It's like, I didn't write down exactly what he said because it was so insane, but I came up with an approximation. It's like, could this have anything to do with the farmhouse killings that occurred once upon a time, way back when, in the first half of this motion picture entertainment produced, written, directed, and catered by William Hinsman? Maybe?
He asks about satanic cults, if it's satanic cults, and they got all these people shooting zombies in a field. And we have lots of just this is where the movie loses it. For me, not completely, but just,
no,
it's still fun. It's still fun, but it's just like such a paltry version of frickin' Night of the Living Dead, because we get the rednecks hunting zombies.
But it's
there
so
is
great.
A funny moment where the girl who is dressed as the hula skirt girl is she's a zombie, and the one guy screams, "Don't shoot her! It's my daughter, for Christ's sake!
That's my ding dang daughter! That's my ding dang robot dancing zombie daughter! Hold your fire!"
Oh, see,
I totally disagree. I love this because it happens all really quickly, and it's so nice to see all of our old friends again.
That is true. That is true. I had not thought of it that way.
We also have this really amazing moment where when they're going into the house, you know, family plus Sally house, where the hunter pockets some candy from the trick-or-treat bowl on his way inside. You know, zombie hunting works up an appetite for a crunch bar.
Oh, that is so good. So they shoot the little girl, zombie, and the mom, and the frickin' kid. The hobo kid. In the trivia, Bill did the blanks himself. He packed the blanks and the gun himself. And when the guy shoots at the ground, you know, they're showing the view of him pointing the rifle at the ground to shoot the little girl. Luckily, that little girl wasn't anywhere near the gun because he shot the cameraman in the foot.
Jesus Christ.
And the blank, the piece of cardboard or whatever, came out of the gun with such force it like went through the dude's foot. went through the cameraman's foot.
Wow.
Good job, Bill.
Caramba.
And he uses that to teach people, hire a professional to do your blanks.
Uh-huh.
You think? $59,000 was paying the lawsuit to that guy's foot doctor. Oh yeah, so I'm glad you caught that. I forgot about the candy. I think none of the rednecks get eaten. They're all fine.
Yeah, they're good.
They all know how to handle this zombie apocalypse in a universe where apparently that happened before,
mm-hmm.
which is what's so funny about John Russo's book, The Dawn of the Dead, is that they actually were successful in stopping the zombie invasion the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the book takes place years later when it's just accepted that if someone dies, you have to shoot them in the head.
Mm-hmm.
That they'll come back from the dead. So it becomes like this cultural thing. And then, of course, something gets screwed up and a bunch of zombies get created. And
that's
we have
always happening.
It is not a good book. I recommend it just kind of because it's short, but it feels really, it has all these things that mirror the first story that it's a little disappointing. But I think I want other people to share my pain.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that Skip Inspector book I was telling you about before we started recording.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to share my pain. Anyway, so the lovers are hiding. Our pals are hiding in a shed. They've upgraded from the cellar to a shed or a farmhouse. And they have these confessions of love where they very cutely decide to come out of the closet as lovers to each other. And they want to get married. Mm-hmm. But then they have a plan. And the plan is, let's go to Tampa.
Let's move to Tampa and start our beautiful life. The future lies ahead is her sorority motto. But the future is more like blown up heads. The second that she said Tampa, I was like, even if you've never seen a horror movie before, I feel like the second she says Tampa, it's like, oh, no, they're dead. Time to die.
Have you been to this city? I mean, folks, I've been a Tampa resident since 1999, and I moved here because I was in Palm Beach, which is infinitely worse.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine how, like, take Tampa, but then make it boring. Like,
they don't even got any dance in there.
I know. Nobody. Everyone just dances and tries to get their partner to get up, and they won't. That's part of the rules. They get shot. It's fucking hilarious. I mean, it's so funny because they're clearly not zombies. They're not shambling around. Yeah. They're not trying to eat anyone. Yeah. They just literally are walking out. They blow her away first.
Mm-hmm.
And he falls to check on her and starts screaming, "No, no, you bastards," or whatever he says. It's clear that he is not one of the undead.
Yeah.
And they blow him away a split second later. It's great.
And they set
better
the
than
barn.
Moving to Tampa is death.
I mean, at least it's quick. And then they set the barn on fire.
Which is the money shot, and I could hear Brad's voice in my head. It's called production value, Richard. Because, man, they burned the shit. It's very impressive.
I mean, that party was a real barn burner.
What was that movie with the... barn burner? What was that movie where she... It was like...
I don't know.
That lady who is married to Paul Newman. I forget. She's like, barn burner.
You got me.
I hate that fucking line. It's barn. Like that's a plague on fucking America. It was barn burners. I don't know. Folks, use your Googles. I'll tell you later.
Use your Googs.
So then we get the cleanup of the zombies after the barn has burned to the ground. We have one police officer who pulls up and starts walking around surveying the damage from the fire and finding a bunch of grody looking corpses. And man, these are some, speaking of impressive frickin' effects, these corpses are nasty.
Yeah, for sure.
But then he finds a live one. We got a live one. He finds Bill. Bill finds him.
Bill.
And Bill rips the guy's top off and fondles his breasts before he chews his head off or whatever.
Roll credits.
After he screams into the camera and we get our the thing they probably did the animation off of was him at the camera. And that's it. That's freaking Flesh Eater. Whew, boy.
Well, my flesh sure got eaten. How about yours, Richard?
My top got ripped off by Bill. Zombie Bill. I had to get a good look at my knockers.
So how do you like this one?
I'm sorry. My Halloween bobbins.
Halloween bazungas.
Wasn't that what they called them in Elvira, Mistress of the Dark? Did you see her bazoombas?
Bazoombas.
Oh my god. So yeah. Let's see if I have any more trivia.
I've got some trivia, but I was gonna wait.
Let's see. The title is taken from one of the original titles for Night of the Living Dead, which was Night of the Flesh Eaters. And of course it's based on, you know, Bill Hinsman's scintillating performance as the first zombie in Night of the Living Dead.
I learned from the interview that everyone was paid $25 a day.
Yes.
Except for the gaffer, who was apparently a professional. And he was paid slightly more and felt so guilty about it that he went and bought like chips and pretzels to serve as craft services, which would not have been provided otherwise.
Oh my god, it's so good. The one whoever wrote the trivia for IMDb was a little snarky. They wrote, "Notice that Bill Hinsman, who basically ripped this idea off from Night of the Living Dead, where he played the graveyard zombie, is the only zombie who gets to touch any of the women who are either nude or partially undressed." Woo!
That's honestly so weird.
That is, it's weird, but I love the way they wrote it. It's so snarky. I mean, yeah.
Who basically ripped off? Which movie are you watching?
Apparently, Vincent D. Servinsky, who plays the posse gunman, he was also in original Night of the Living Dead as basically the same character.
Mm.
That's incredible. What else? You got anything else from that beautiful making of?
No, that's the only trivia I've got. I have some quotes from people about the movie that are very similar to my own feelings.
Oh, let's hear them.
Yeah. So personally, I love this movie. I feel so bad that I slept on it for so long. Again, I think the title and its pedigree, the Hins factor, probably kept me away from it for too long. Because this movie is like a machine. It's just wall-to-wall goodness. Like, there's no significant story to speak of. I mean, there's I'm sorry. This movie is all story and no plot. Like, there's no interesting causality between any of the actions, but it's definitely like this happened and this happened and this happened and this happened. So I think it's, I can't imagine, I don't know why anybody would dislike this movie. Like, if you like horror movies and you like seeing stupid shit in horror movies, you're gonna love this movie, because that's all it is, strung together for 88 minutes. I feel like I also admire how it keeps you on your toes. by sort of setting you up for one thing and then saying, nah, we're done with that. Here's something else.
Yeah.
And then here's something else. I can sum up the movie in total from two quotes from the documentary on the Shriek Show DVD. One is one of the special effects guys. I didn't note his name, but he's one of the special effects guys. He said, quote, we had a lot of laughs. Agreed. And then Andy Dracula said, quote, most consecutive solid fun. Also agree. That's how I would describe this movie. A lot of consecutive solid fun.
I love that.
So how do you feel about this one, Richard?
I like this very much. I don't love it, but I suspect this is my second viewing, and I know I'm going to be repeating this every Halloween season because it is such a great fall movie. And I could see eventually getting to love this one. So it's right on the edge of that. Like I said, the things I don't like, the score separate from the movie is good. I don't know what they did wrong with the score. There's just something wrong with it. I'm not sure. I don't like the parts where it just mimics Night of the Living Dead, especially at the end, because this movie feels like it has like three endings. That gets a little burnt, but it's not a long movie, so who cares?
Exactly.
I love the party sequence. The fall leaves are everywhere. It is clearly shot, if not in fall, then it's like a nice...
Oh, it's fall. It's 100% fall.
Okay, it's a fall time. It's been a long time. I've been in Florida forever, so I kind of don't remember what fall looks like anymore.
Big-ass brown dead leaves on the ground. It's fall.
My expectations when I bought this really paid off because they were in the toilet. So, of course, once you don't get flushed down the toilet, it's only you just work your way up from there. Basically, you're climbing up the tank of the toilet and you're, hey, this is okay.
Yeah, you ghoulie yourself out of the toilet.
I'll bite you in the ass. I actually prefer this to The Dead Next Door, which is, I get the vibe, because, you know, this is a Night of the Living Dead ripoff. Dead Next Door is not so much a ripoff as a big homage to Dawn of the Dead.
I mean, this is way better. Yeah, it's also shorter. I don't care for The Dead Next Door.
It has way less meandering stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. That one
just feels like sister films in a way.
That one feels so long and it feels like it's trying so hard. I appreciate that this one isn't really trying.
No.
Don't try so hard. Just do it.
And yeah, like I said, when we were talking about the first 30 minutes, the siege part, when we were in introduced to our friends, our good time Charlies, if that had been the whole movie, which, dude, I know you have seen a movie like that where it goes really fast in the beginning to set up stuff, and then we spend the next hour of a 90-minute movie watching these people talk about the zombies, share stories of their past and how it is ironic this is happening to them, or just banging things and fighting off a zombie horde. And that's the whole movie. You know, everyone's seen that. So this one thing I really love about this is every time you go, what is this? It doesn't matter what that was. It's already moving on to the next thing. That's freaking great. Yeah. So yeah, I'm coming around to it.
Good.
Definitely Halloween-y enough for our purposes. It has more Halloween in it than frickin' the first Halloween Town movie, which getting a hankering to rewatch that right now, boy.
Do it up. Just put it in.
Well, sir, thank you for at least taking off your bandages from your amazing mummy costume long enough to speak on this episode.
Yeah, I'm going to go wrap myself back up, dig myself a hole, find myself some college kids to put some stones down on top of me.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Bury me forever.
I don't know why that made me think of Time Walker when you said that. I guess it's because I brought up a mummy. Now every mummy is Time Walker to me. I wish that had a Halloween party in it. That would have been the fucking best. But I'm going to put my fangs back in. I had, not from my mouth, I had some other fangs. I don't want to really go into that. But folks, have a great Halloween. Halloween obviously is not canceled. Do what you gotta do. Have fun. Frickin' spike the punch. You're the only one drinking it if you're quarantined, so you'll be okay with it.
I mean, I don't know how to tell you this, listeners, but where are your costumes? You look like shit.
That reminds me of Mortuary, where the one guy's like, "Hey, man, you look like shit." And they cut back to the guy. He says it to us, his perfect hair, perfect clothes. And I'm like, what? How does he look like shit? But yes, if you do not wear a costume to the party, you could look like shit. Or you could just dress like a piece of shit. Everyone loves that.
Hey.
Happy Halloweeners. Bye, folks.
Hello, This Is the Doom Show is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Please check out the other podcasts on legionpodcasts.com. If you'd like more Hello, This Is the Doom Show, go to hellodoomshow.podomatic.com or go to doomedmoviethon.com for the archives. If that's still not enough, go to @doomedmoviethon on Twitter. You can write in to Hello, This Is the Doom Show. Use the email doomedmoviethon@gmail.com. Doom Show episodes are available on record and 8-track cassette.